This is Kate from ConversationsWithKate.net, inviting you to improve your listening comprehension by listening to my conversations with guests from all over the world. I created this podcast for English language learners who want to feel comfortable in English conversations for business, travel, or pleasure. By listening to real conversations between me and a native or non-native English speaker, you will improve your understanding of different English accents, connected speech, and you'll learn interesting things about people, language, and travel along the way. My goal is to connect cultures through conversation. We'll improve understanding of our world and each other. Thank you for joining us. This is episode number 45. My guest today is Amo Badal, a native English speaker from the UK. After a varied career in sales, marketing, distribution, and convenience retailing, Amo is enjoying retirement. I met him in October in Spain at Pueblo Inglés, an English immersion village where native speakers volunteer to converse with native Spaniards who need English for international business and other professional work. These programs recruit native English speakers from around the world to expose the participants to a variety of English accents and cultures. In our group were people from Australia, New Zealand, Canada, the US, and the UK. Welcome to the podcast, Amo.
Thank you for the invitation.
I'm really delighted to have you. Now, you're talking to me today from the UK, right?
That's right, yes. I'm in the centre of England at the moment.
Have you always lived in the UK?
Yes, I was born here. I was born about 30 miles from here. But I did spend 4 years in India at the request of my parents to get some education.
So those were your university years?
No. I was very young at the time. I was only 4 or 5 when I got shipped over to India. The plan was that her parents were going to join us afterwards to settle back in India. It never materialized, so they sent for me and my brothers to come back to the UK. That was about 4 years after we went. So I was about 5 when I left and about 9 when I came back.
So you grew up speaking English. Did you speak English in India?
No. I grew up speaking Punjabi. Punjabi is my native language. It's spoken by my parents. And when I went to school, that's the first time I was exposed to English. So I had to learn English anew because all my family and friends spoke Punjabi. And when I left for India, they spoke Punjabi. So again, when I came back to England at the age of 9, I had to relearn English.
So do you speak Punjabi with your family?
Yeah, not so much with my children and cousins now, because they're all about my age. We speak English predominantly, but with the older generation, we speak Punjabi. Mostly out of respect. They can understand. My mum can understand English very well, but out of respect, we speak Punjabi to her. With her, all my friends and cousins and family came with the Indian culture. It's changing now with the next generation. That is becoming more. We're adapting more to the Western culture, as we call it. But some things are still in traditional Indian culture. So, for example, the way the wedding ceremonies are still done. There is an English civil ceremony, which is legally binding. But we still do the traditional Sikh weddings like our parents did. Food is another thing. Music is another. And get-togethers, it's usually based around some religious event. But parties is mostly Indian music, Indian food, and we dance and drink.
You told me that traveling, meeting new people, and immersing yourself in their culture is a passion of yours. Was our Pueblo Inglés program in Spain the first time that you tried an English immersion village?
No, that was number 8 or 9, I think, that one. Yeah, I enjoyed the mix of different cultures and listened to the native, the Spanish, not just practicing their English, but learning about their culture as well, because they come from different parts of Spain and each region has its own unique identity. They're almost like independent countries. They're quite fierce with their identity and food and culture. So, yeah, I enjoy finding out about what's going on in their region, what's unique to their region, and why I should visit. And I can do it in an environment where the people come to us, you know, all the different regions come to us, rather than you having to explore different regions and then trial and error. So this way, it's quite a unique way to meet people, I think. So as it turned out, all they needed me to do was talk, which you probably realised I can do quite well. I have a black belt in it. I love the people, I love the culture, and I realised how rich and warm the people were, and how much they wanted to share their experiences with you. And you kind of have a stereotypical image of Spanish people in your mind from the television programs you see and the news media. And when you go there and you meet the people, they're completely the opposite. They're very hardworking, which is, you know, there's a myth that they have like 5-hour siestas. These guys are very hardworking. They're very polite, to the point where if there's 2 or 3 of you at the bar, they won't leave until you leave. You know, I mean, this is their culture. So you have, you know, and at the first couple of times you're thinking, crikey, these guys have got stamina. But then you realize it's not, they're waiting for you to go. So now I'm quite upfront saying, guys, I need to be away at 11 o'clock.
Yeah, another cultural difference that I really came to enjoy was the sobremesa. It's wonderful how everyone hangs out after a good meal and just enjoys good conversation.
Yeah. Again, this is something that I had not experienced before. We call it in England chin wag, which is a conversation, sobre mesa. But it was something that I wanted to then introduce to my family because I'd seen it in Spain. So when I came back, normally what happens in my family is we eat and then we disappear off the table. Mm-hmm. So it was a really strange concept to get everybody to just put the phones away. Let's sit down. Let's just talk. And the first one lasted about 7 minutes, but gradually we've been building up the stamina and time. But now we can usually have a conversation for about 40, 45 minutes, which is quite good.
I love that. Let's put the phones away and have sobremesa. So meeting and interacting with people either face-to-face or over the telephone has been a major part of your life, you said. Conversation really comes very naturally to you. Has that always been true? Since you were a child, or is it something that you learned over time?
Yeah, you kind of like you pick up tips along the way. Especially when you're doing it for a career, you learn how to ask questions and how to be quiet and listen as well, which is a great art in itself in a conversation. But yeah, when I started my career in retailing initially, I was very shy. You wouldn't notice that now, but at the time I was very shy, and it helped me to come out of my shell, because all of a sudden you have to say hello to people, and you need to ask them how they are. And there's a phrase, fake it till you make it, which kind of like stuck in my head, and it was I was faking it at the beginning. And then all of a sudden you think, oh, God, I'm not faking anymore. I genuinely care about these people. The business, retail business, has been in the family for 30 years. We sold it a couple of years ago. So you get to see the children that I met in 1985 when we opened the business be parents, you know, and they're bringing their children in. So you kind of like see, and the grandparents who were parents, and it's almost like 3-4 generations of the same families you're meeting. So you become very, very close and attached to these people. They're your customers as well, but they also your friends and neighbors and family. And then when I went to work in a corporation, I learned to sell over the telephone. Again, it's a completely different art form, trying to communicate over the telephone without any visual aid. But I was very fortunate. I had some very good teachers and mentors and trainers who showed me the art of listening for clues based on what the people were doing and, you know, based on background noise. So you pick up all these skills. And again, it's you learn about selling techniques. So asking the right questions, shutting up and listening, and then asking the next question. And all of these have kind of like helped to help me communicate with people now, you know. It's kind of, I've been able to use all my skills to make connections with people that otherwise I think I would find challenging. I try to connect with people regardless of where I am. Sometimes language is a barrier. We went to Morocco recently, and unfortunately, I know a little bit of Spanish. So the northern part of Morocco speaks Spanish, but we were in the southern end, which they don't speak any Spanish at all. It's French, and neither my wife or I could speak French. Or the other language was Arabic, and we can't speak that either. And very few places we went to spoke English. So the language barrier was a bit of a hindrance because I like to immerse myself in the community. So when I'm in a restaurant, just talking to the waiter or somebody behind the bar, just saying, hi, how are things? How's it going? You know, just a very basic rudimentary things kind of connects you to the place. I miss that when I cannot communicate in their language. So one of my friends can speak French. So I said to her, please send me some phrases I can use. So she sent a few and we were able to, but then you can't understand the response. So, you know, you're trying your hardest and they know you're trying. So they're kind of like they're very patient with you. Because what I don't want to come across as another arrogant Brit coming over, but you know, expecting people to speak the language. It's their country, it's their culture. We should attempt to speak their language.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's really important to learn a few phrases in the language before you go to a foreign country, for sure.
It's like when we went to Paris for the first time. I mean, everybody said, oh, the French are so rude. Oh, be careful, Amo. The French are so rude. And my experience was total opposite. I loved them. They were very nice to us. And, you know, but what we did was we learned a couple of phrases. And the first thing I said was, bonjour, which is hello. Ça va, which is how are you? Or oui, ça va, if they'd ask first. And parlez-vous anglais? Do you speak English? And if they said yes, I would then say, do you mind me speaking in English? No, you carry on. With me opening the conversation like this, they were very welcoming because we found none of the hostility. Because I think we went very humbly and said, this is your country. We will try to speak your language, but there's a limit to how much we can speak. So we're going to try to flip to English as soon as we possibly can. And they didn't mind. Luckily, most of Europe speaks fairly decent level of English, but we also like to travel off the beaten track into little villages where English is not so common, so phrase books come in very, very handy. So what I would recommend is to people is write down a few basic phrases, keep a phrase book if necessary. Because you never know, you're not always going to get GPS or wireless or Wi-Fi. So write down some key phrases. Where's the toilet? How much is the bill? That, you know, the very basic. Do you speak English is always a very good one. hello also and goodbye and sorry. Not many people say sorry in a language. You know, I think that's very important. Because, when you're walking around as a traveller, as a tourist, you do tend to stop and bump into people. So learning the very basic of saying sorry is, I think, is quite important.
And that's a delightful way to bring this to a close. Amo, it's been wonderful having you on the podcast.
Take care.
Okay, speak to you later.
Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
You've been listening to my conversation with Amo Badal, someone who grew up speaking Punjabi but has lived most of his life in England. One of the goals of my podcast is to make us all better listeners by tuning our ear to English as spoken by people around the world. If you would like to be a guest on my podcast, please contact me via my website, conversationswithkate.net. You can download a transcript and lesson guide for this and other episodes when you join the Conversations with Kate Patreon community. It's a small investment in the future of this podcast and provides you with English language learning materials for as little as $2 a month. Learn more by visiting my website, conversationswithkate.net, and click on Listen to the Podcast. Click Free Lesson Guides for my monthly email update with links to at least 2 free lesson guides and transcripts each month. Thanks to Aaron Burdett for our music. This is Kate. Remember that every day is a gift. I'm honored that you spent some of your precious time with me. Thank you for listening. Until next time.